It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Everybody deserves to be able to go to a doctor, get well, be able to afford their medication. I don't care if it's a public plan. I don't care what it is. We need to do something. We need to keep fighting until everybody in America, because if America can fund a war in Iraq, they can take care of their people here.
A public health insurance option and single-payer health care are two alternative and competing versions of comprehensive and meaningful health care reform discussed at a June 4 town hall meeting on health care at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond. And you'll learn the good news and bad news about new laws that cut down on the number of payday loans borrowers can get during this week's News You Can Use. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 53, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. New laws that limited borrowers to one payday loan at a time and doubled the amount of time borrowers had to repay the loans have drastically reduced the number of payday loans in Virginia. Last year, Virginia's payday lenders made nearly 3.4 million loans, or about $280,000 each month. Through the end of May, lenders had issued 227,000 loans, or about $45,000 per month, an 84% decline. That puts Virginia on pace to issue fewer than 600,000 payday loans for the first time since the lenders were authorized to do business in the state in 2002. According to Jay Spear, executive director of the Virginia Poverty Law Center, quote, "It's definitely good news and bad news. The good news is that there are less payday loans. The bad news is that they just shifted to car title lending," end quote. Even before the new law took effect, the majority of the state's payday lenders began offering other high-interest loans, like lines of credit or car title loans, where borrowers hand over the title to their vehicle to secure a loan for up to half the car's value. If they fall behind, the lender can take the car. In other news, although Virginia has approximately 1.1 million uninsured residents, 14.8% of the population, applying for adult medical assistance has just gotten a little easier. The Virginia Department for the Aging, Department of Medical Assistance Services, and Department of Social Services have worked together for more than 18 months to develop an online application for adult Medicaid. The intent was to make the application available to people who are comfortable using the internet and to professionals who help others apply for Medicaid, to simplify the application procedure, and to speed up the processing of applications. The application can be found on the Virginia Easy Access website. The application has 31 questions and takes about 45 minutes to complete. You can start your application, save it, and come back to complete it. You can access your application 24 hours a day, and it is stored on a secure server database for 60 days. To find the application, go to www.easyaccess.virginia.gov, click on Financial Help, and click on the Medicaid application button. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegebright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is subpoena ducis tecum. A subpoena ducis tecum is a court order that says a person must bring certain papers to court. You use this if someone has papers that you want to use as evidence in a court case or an administrative agency proceeding. You need the full name and current physical address, not just a post office box, of the person who has the papers, and a description of all the papers you want. You must give this information to the clerk of court at least 15 days before your trial date. If you don't ask for the subpoena ducis tecum, you can't get your case postponed if you don't have the needed papers in court. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and subpoena ducis tecum is this week's legal term of the week.
The World Health Organization ranks the United States healthcare system number one in costs and number 37 in quality of care. Every other industrialized country has some form of national or single-payer healthcare system, costing the public less and providing better care. On June 4, the Virginia chapter of Change That Works sponsored a town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond. Both a public health insurance option and single-payer healthcare were discussed by the audience, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. We now bring you part two of a two-part presentation.
I'm Charles Robideau. I'm a member of the Interfaith Center. I'm also a member of Physicians for a National Health Program, although I'm not a physician. However, I want to talk about this sign down here. It says public health care coverage for all. If you take out the word coverage, you have what we're talking about with single payer. Public health care for all. Now, what we've heard a lot about tonight and what they're talking about in Washington is coverage, not care. And that's protecting this whole gigantic insurance industry, which has taken the profits and running and leaving us in the lurch and leaving 40, 50 million people without coverage, and all the horror stories that you hear, they're from people who have insurance. And the only thing we can do that's going to save this is to get the insurance companies out of the business. And that's what single payer would do. Now, this public plan that's talked about is a public insurance plan. And that would be designed to sort of give the illusion of competition so the big insurance companies can just keep doing what they're doing. It's a fraud. And what we need is a public plan to provide care. Single payer.
In all my thinking about this, I've been thinking single payer is probably the most logical way to go. Probably, ultimately, the only way to really control costs, which is half of what all of this is about. But I'd be interested to know what this public plan actually involves, because if we have to settle in the meantime, and it looks like we may. Wait a minute now. Hang on just a second. Let us just entertain what is possible, okay? What is practically possible. If everybody can opt for that public plan, doesn't the public plan then become the competitor, the cool plan to have that leaves those nasty insurance companies out in the cold? No. You say no? I want to know why. I want to know more about what this public plan might do and who is eligible for it, because most of the sort of analysis I've heard so far on NPR and PBS and all those other places is that the public plan if that's given as an option, it becomes the redheaded stepchild. It becomes the dumping ground for everybody else who doesn't have insurance without any cost control, which means ultimately it'll cost the government a fortune, and then everybody who's against all of this to begin with can say, see, we told you. So I'd like to know more about what's on the books for this public plan and who is eligible for it. Because if businesses and small businesses are eligible for it, maybe if it gets used in droves, it becomes the cool choice or the right choice.
Thank you. My name is Andrea Miller. I was a candidate for Congress in 2008, and single payer was a critical and very important part of my platform. Very simply, there is currently a bill in Congress sponsored by Congressman John Conyers from Michigan, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, that's called H.R. 676, the Expanded Medicare for All. Single payer, as written in H.R. 676, would cover all medical, your dental, your vision, your pharmacy, and mental health is now on parity with physical health. But single payer basically introduced that concept. The cost of single payer for families or households would roughly be 3.3% of income. So if your annual income were $30,000, you would basically pay $90 a month for your medical, dental, vision combined. The plan is everybody in, nobody out. There are no deductibles. There are no co-pays. You are covered from birth to death. There are no such things as pre-existing exempted conditions. Furthermore, in single payer, since everybody is covered, what we are really looking at is a complete and a full health plan. What they are considering, and again, we really don't know because we don't have a written down model of what the public option is. They are saying possibly it could be like the Massachusetts plan. The Massachusetts plan is mandatory coverage. That means if you don't purchase health insurance, that's against the law. All right? In Massachusetts, I see a number of people with gray hair in this room. That means you're probably over 40. You would be looking at an annual premium of between $5,000 and $12,000 a year with a deductible of $2,500 and co-pays for every visit to the doctor. You would be against the law if you did not buy that plan. 47 million people forced into buying insurance from the health insurance companies. That is why they do not want, quote, a public plan of any type. So that's why the insurance companies are fighting.
My name is Florence Johnson, and personally, I believe you're right. Single payer is the way to go, okay? But I will remind you of what Frederick Douglass said. Power concedes nothing without a struggle. And every time we try to get healthcare reform in this country, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We get ourselves to one extreme, and they get us. We didn't get in this condition overnight, and we are not going to get out of it overnight. But for the first time in my lifetime, we have a real chance at real healthcare reform. We don't have a bill yet. So what we're all doing here is trying to give voice to what we need. Do I believe we're going to give single payer this year? Nope. Do I believe we're even going to get single payer in the next 10? Maybe. But we are not going to get it this year or in the next 3 or 4. But what we can get, if we stand together, if we fight for reform, is a public plan that will bring down that cost. Because if we can get a public plan in place by using our power, if we can use our power to get a real public plan in place that will reduce the cost, right, and will come under what the insurance companies are going to offer, we can get that cost down from the insurance companies, moving us a step closer to the American dream of single payer. But we're not going to get it this year. But let us fight for something we can get.
You're listening to a June 4 town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond, about a public health insurance option or single-payer health care to achieve comprehensive and meaningful health care reform. We'll be back in a moment. If you're just joining us, the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show now rejoins the June 4 Town Hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center in South Richmond about healthcare reform, the public health insurance option, and single-payer healthcare.
Hi, everybody. My name's Jill Hankin. I work at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and I work on health issues there. It's great that everybody came out today, and I want us to remember that we are all working together in this effort for healthcare for all. There are many ways to get there. I love what I'm hearing about single payer, but as we just heard a moment ago, it's not likely to happen this year, but that's an end result that we can hope for eventually. But let's work together to get something this year, and it's not going to be easy. As John said earlier, the big roadblock is how's it going to be funded? You know how our legislators hesitate to raise taxes, how our legislators hate to make the powers in this country angry at them. They need to hear from us. So to answer the last gentleman, there is so much that we need to do. First of all, we need to speak not just to one another, but we need to speak to our elected officials every day, all of them, and in every way we can think of. I live here in Richmond. How many letters to the editor have you seen about health care reform? There have been a few. There have been a few pros. I think there have been more cons. I think we all need to start writing those letters to the editor because it makes a difference. Our legislators do pay attention to what's happening in the Richmond papers. So let's write letters. Let's go see our legislators. Let's go write all our legislators, not just once, but several times. Because the debate is moving very quickly in D.C. They're talking about getting legislation together in just a matter of weeks and possibly to be adopted by the end of the summer. That's so quick, it's hard to even imagine that it can happen, but it may well happen. Well, let's not wait any longer before they start hearing from us. And I think our message is a unified message, healthcare for all. And go for single payer if you want to, but support the overall message that it's time for health reform in America. We've waited too long. Too many people are uninsured. Too many people are going bankrupt because of health care costs that they can't pay for, and it's time for major change. So I think we ought to really work together, and the debate is very important, but let's make sure our elected officials hear from us.
Jewel is a healthcare worker. She's a home care worker and does not have access to healthcare herself right now. She's a member of SEIU and a great advocate for healthcare reform. Can you tell a little bit about your story?
Okay. I'm a healthcare worker, and I don't have healthcare insurance. That's a sad story, right? Just in itself. Me working in that field and can't get the medical attention I need. I was working at a nursing home, had a patient to fall on me. Broke two bones in my neck, so I had to have surgery. Stayed in the hospital 13 days altogether. Ran up hospital bill over $104,000. That's not counting the doctor's costs. That's not counting rehab. That's not counting medication. See, I was in a lot of pain. When you break a bone, it hurts. But to break something in your neck, it really hurts. I couldn't afford the medication. So I started taking Advil and Tylenol. I don't want to see anybody else go through that. Nobody deserves that. Everybody deserves to be able to go to a doctor, get well, be able to afford their medication. I don't care if it's a public plan. I don't care what it is. We need to do something. We need to keep fighting until everybody in America, because if America can fund a war in Iraq, they can take care of their people here.
I'm again Scott Berger. I just wanted to respond to Dan and a few other comments. We have the power of democracy, and it's been under siege for many years, unfortunately. And you're right, it's tough now. And unfortunately, I don't want to be an alarmist, but it's going to get tougher. I don't think the economy is really recovering. I think this fall we're going to be facing even more perils. It's going to get really ugly, unfortunately. I want to see America stay strong and united, but I don't think we're going to do that by leaving the insurance companies and the HMOs and the corporate interests in charge, because we've done that for too long. We've seen how they've ruled. I think this country has been weakened considerably by not following the rest of the world to single payer. The rest of the world. And I think we're in great danger of falling behind other countries in terms of democracy, in terms of our basic principles. And so, you know, when people say, well, step back, give it a chance, it can't happen this year, I'll say to them, it needs to happen very, very soon. And you may say, well, you know, you're being too extreme. Were the founding fathers extreme when they rebelled against England? It's time for extremity, because we are in extreme circumstances. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, I think they're going to get more extreme. I want everyone to be covered. I want the United States to be strong. Single payer is the way to do it. Don't leave the corporate interests in charge. Put public interests in charge. Put the government in charge over things. That's what we need, because the government is you. Government is the people. It's called democracy. And that's what we need. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Jack. I am a registered nurse. I work on the oncology unit at MCV. I'm 22 years old. I just have something to talk about, I guess, with the term all. Something we need to keep in mind is that we need to keep in mind undocumented immigrants. On the unit that I work on, I had a patient who was from Central America. He was an undocumented immigrant. He's been here for about 20 years, works three jobs to help provide for his family. He got leukemia. He doesn't have insurance. So he comes to the unit, and he can get the induction chemotherapy, but he can't come back for follow-up treatments. With cancer, it's not just one cure or one treatment. You have to have several series. There's a series of what you have to get, and if you don't have insurance, you can't come back. So he comes back to the ER because he has gone into a crisis. Pretty much the cancer's come back. Whatever the first treatment did, it's all gone. And he has to start again, and he has to start again and again and again, and he can't get past it, and in the end, he's going to die because he is undocumented. And what we need to keep in mind is that public health care for all, we have to just, remember the undocumented people. That's all I wanted to say.
You've been listening to part two of a June 4 town hall meeting on health care at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond, about a public health insurance option or single-payer health care to achieve comprehensive and meaningful health care reform. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about filing fees. The first tip is that a filing fee is a fee you usually must pay to file a case or a legal paper with a court. The second tip is that for some cases, such as a petition for a protective order, a petition for child support, or a petition for spousal support, there is no filing fee. For other cases, the filing fee ranges from $12 to $200. The third tip is that if you can't afford a filing fee, you can ask the court clerk for a form to apply for free filing. The form asks for information about your income and property,
and only the judge can allow you to file for free. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week's, that's our top three tips about filing fees.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. What if there were a state agency you could call for free to get consumer information and even have your consumer complaint resolved? There is. Join us next Wednesday when we speak with Penny Jez and Tina Holt at the Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs about what they do and how they can help consumers. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbrink.